League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hope everybody's getting ready for this big one this weekend. Manchester United and Liverpool in the Premier League. We'll get back to some Premier League watching. What a year we have here in 2016 with the Copa Centenario around the corner. We will have the European Championships, the Olympics. It doesn't get much better than that. Quick word here for Bud Light, because Bud Light wants to remind you, when that Copa Centenario comes to town, you need to be in Energy Stadium with like-minded individuals. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And Bud Light reminds you, when soccer content comes to Houston, be involved, get out to the stadium. And that would mean the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash as well down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. And Bud Light, again, is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, Bud Light. And with that, we bring in ESPN FC writer Tom Marshall. Tom, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, Glenn. Yeah, back in Guadalajara after a bit of a break back in England over Christmas.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and I will assume that you had a great time back in England.
Yep, it was very good. I'm happy to be back in the sun, though.
Yeah. Well, let's... Yeah, let's start it off. Tonight with first Alan Pulido, a player that I always thought has some tremendous talent. I know a couple of years ago at Tigres, it was tough for him to get playing time. Is this rumor about him potentially coming to Major League Soccer one that has legs?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think I think we've seen that actually coming from Colorado Rapids now that that a deal's been reached. There's been at least an agreement. And that obviously Pulido now has to come over to Colorado to actually sign and make it completely official. But everything that we're hearing at the minute is indicates that Pulido's gonna sign a loan deal for Colorado Rapids, which another young Mexican player moving to MLS. So it's another big transfer.
Well, that could be one of the biggest signings they've made, strictly from the fact that they don't seem to be that relevant in Denver, Colorado. And to get a player like that, I think it could draw some fans that normally lies outside the concentric circle of their fan base.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Houston has done it with Cubo Torres. And then obviously, Giovanni Dos Santos had already a big impact over there in Los Angeles. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a strategic ploy from MLS to kind of pick up any Mexico international they can. As long as the deal makes sense. And the other one that I think we should definitely still be keeping our eyes on is, the big fish, Carlos Vela. I mean, I think that everything coming out from his camp as well indicates that he'd be interested in move back to MLS and be closer to his home. So I think that's another one. If it doesn't happen in January, then maybe next summer.
Now let's go back to what you just said about Cubo Torres, because I want to know if, and then I'm going to take you into Vela. Anything else you've heard out of Mexico, Guadalajara, about Cubo? Of course, we know he's going to be a part of the Olympics, but that whole spike, of a Mexican player coming to Houston, it didn't work with Cubo Torres. It hasn't worked. It hasn't brought more fans out. He hasn't played that much here. He hasn't played well. He had the off-field problems. Is there anything else you can add to the Cubo Torres story?
No, I mean, it's been pretty quiet surrounding Cubo in terms of, the Mexican press and what's going on down here. But I would add is I think that, obviously, like you said, Deglin, the under-23 camp, Raul Gutierrez, has really backed him. Even though he hasn't been playing well in MLS for Houston, he's still the main striker for the Olympic side. So I think that's important. But I think this year, Cubo Torres, had a good break this off-season. Obviously, you mentioned the off-the-field troubles that happened last year with him. So I think that a nice little break, and he's fresh now. He's coming into a new season. He'll have had the preseason, and yeah, I think I'm backing him to do a lot better in this second season with Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, I am too, and I think you just hit on a couple of great points. But he'll have a full preseason. But you know, it's going to be interesting because it seems as though the Dynamo might be pushing under Owen Coyle to play in a setup that has a lone striker, which means, you know, he'll be battling Will Bruun, who just got a big contract extension and a new contract, which is paying him bigger money. It's going to be interesting because they're differing strikers, and I think there's going to be some real battle for playing time if certainly the Dynamo use a lone striker with Christian Maidana as a playmaker behind either one of those two. And then there's a young player, Mauro Manotas from Colombia, who's making a push as well. Back to Carlos Vela. All those years of him not playing for the national team, that whole controversy with him, has he been a bit of a bust?
Yeah. I don't think there's any way around that. I mean, Vela, when he wasn't playing for the national team, I think if you were to project his career, it'd be almost like Antoine Griezmann. He moved from Real Sociedad to Atletico. And now there's obviously all these rumours about him, you know, moving on from there in a massive move. So I think Vela should have been on that trajectory, but you know he's had a couple of injuries, his form's been hit. You know, he's come back to the national team and it's just really not taken off. So it has been a disappointment from a Mexican point of view, because I think Vela was in terms of talent was the player who could play for Real Madrid, you know, or a Barcelona or an Arsenal and actually be in the first team. So. Yeah, I think it's a disappointment, but yeah, definitely a bust, Glenn.
All right, let's keep it moving here. I'm going to move on to, they're always in the news, Club America. That performance at the Club World Cup, and of course, everybody here in Major League Soccer, I certainly want to see MLS teams begin to win the CONCACAF Champions League and get to that. How embarrassing, was their performance on that stage, because I know Club America takes it very, very seriously when they go over there representing CONCACAF.
Well, listen, I mean, 2016 is America's centennial as well, so, there's been a lot of hype surrounding, coming into this year, and obviously the Club World Cup was supposed to provide the momentum into this huge year for the club, and obviously, Mexico's biggest, so it was such a massive disappointment. They put a lot of effort into, they wanted to get it right, and they wanted to meet Barcelona, they wanted to play him and give him a good game and kind of, feed off the coverage that provides. So to lose to a Chinese team, even though the Chinese team was, had some quality and obviously had Scolari as the coach, it was a huge disappointment and an embarrassment. I mean, for Mexican football as well and for CONCACAF, it's like you want to see these teams kind of advance and do positive things outside, but too many times over recent years, the Club World Cup has just been... It's been a real graveyard for Mexican teams. I mean, as soon as they qualify, they tend to kind of go downhill. I mean, just associated with failure, really. And, it's like when you try and justify the strength of the Mexican league, to people outside who don't really watch it all the time, it's difficult when clubs like America are putting in performances like that when they do make the world stage.
Yeah, no doubt about it. These are big moments for teams when they get there, and certainly for Club America. So Nacho Ambriz now, according to one of your articles, by the way, you can get Tom's writings over to ESPNFC.us. Tom writes some great stuff over there, all kinds of great articles. So you've obviously highlighted that Nacho Ambriz is under real pressure. How much rope does he have now? How many more games can he go without getting some positive results?
Well, I mean, word from the camp from Moises Munoz and the players who have been speaking are saying they're very united and they're going to back the manager. But, after what happened at the Club World Cup and the 0-0 draw in the Azteca last Saturday, I think that if America lose against Atlas this Saturday in Estadio Jalisco, I mean, I just don't see him being given more time. It's just not... The shoe doesn't seem to fit with Nacho Ambriz at America. He's quite a dour character. I mean, he's a good coach, but he's not the kind of exciting coach that Club America want. Club America basically want Miguel Herrera back, but he's just taken over at Club Tijuana, so, I just can't see him surviving too much longer, especially because America just don't give coaches much time anyway. So And there are a lot of good managers on the market at the minute, no doubt about that.
Yeah, you mentioned one, too, and Marcelo Gallardo had a brief stint here in Major League Soccer with DC United. What a talented midfield player he was. Get into telling us a little bit about what type of coach he has been and kind of how he made that transition from a player, because you always wonder, creative players, some will make great coaches, some will not make great coaches.
No, yeah, Gallardo, I think, you know, you look at the kind of new wave of, you know, especially South American coaches, and you look at some of the big European clubs now, you know, Diego Simeone, Manchester City, who, with South American coaches, I mean, they're not afraid to promote them these days. And I think Gallardo's the next one. I think he's the next really, really good coach, you know, high pressing with his teams, a lot of energy, but also he's got that kind of typical Argentine hardness about him in terms of he knows when to really shut up a game and when to close ranks and how to stop the other team scoring. The really, you know, the tactical side, the nous of how to get results. So I just think he's a really balanced coach, and, you know, he's already done pretty much everything with River now. You know, he's won the Copa Libertadores, he's won the Copa Sudamericana, he's won the First Division. So I just wonder that if America went in with a massive, just for example, a massive offer for him, would it tempt him? I mean, I imagine he'd be holding out for a bigger European club, but, you know, I think that at some point he's going to move on, and it's going to be, I think his career is just going to be a fascinating one to follow over the next few years.
Tom Marshall via the phone in Guadalajara, Mexico tonight as we take you outside the United States and around the world. Tom, let's talk about Diego Simeone, because he's in the pole position for the Chelsea job ultimately, or at some point. Atletico Madrid has just, along with Real Madrid, been hit with a bit of a transfer ban here in the coming years. Does that spur Simeone maybe to move to Chelsea a little bit quicker because he can't add reinforcements to his team? And/or do you think he's the right fit for Chelsea?
I think he is, yeah. I think he would be a really good fit for Chelsea because in certain ways he's got that, again, that pragmatic streak that I think that a club like Chelsea is perfect for. And he's a young manager, he's up and coming, he's still got a lot to prove. I think the big thing with Simeone is he, in all of his interviews, he's always so happy at Atletico Madrid, and I think he really appreciates that what he's got there. He might not get a club like Chelsea with Abramovich, who obviously historically doesn't give his managers very much time. So, you know, it's a hard decision for someone like Simeone, but I don't know. I've just absolutely loved what he's done at Atletico Madrid in the last few years. I think they're almost a definitive modern team in terms of, you've got Barcelona and Real Madrid who are pretty much freaks. I mean, some of the players they've got are just so incredible, you know. But what Simeone's done with Atletico, it's almost like the team does everything. If it wants to shut up and get a 0-0 result, it can do that. If you want the team to play, it can also play. You know, technically, tactically, physically, they've got absolutely a bit of everything. I think they're the most rounded and modern team in many ways that I think that exists at the minute.
Two teams that have had their struggles themselves, this on the heels of you having a visit to England, so I thought they'd bring this up this weekend. Obviously, it's one of the great rivalries, if not the greatest rivalry in English soccer, Manchester United and Liverpool this weekend. All right, tip us off to who Tom Marshall thinks is going to get the upper hand in this.
I mean, the Premier League this season has just been so difficult. But, I mean, I'm from Manchester, so I'm going to have to go Manchester United, I think. You know, but both teams have got so many flaws at the minute that you really don't know. And both coming into the game after 3-3 draws. So I'd just slightly go with Manchester United because I think that, you know, against Newcastle the night, I think that was the best going forward that I've seen them. And Liverpool, they're just so hit and miss these days that, you know, I think Klopp's going to need time to really sort them out. And that might take another year, I think. So just about Manchester United, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw either.
He's the one and only Tom Marshall from Guadalajara, Mexico. Tom, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. We absolutely love your stuff. Catch Tom's stuff, ESPNFC.us. Tom, thank you as always.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Thanks for the invitation.
All right. That was Tom Marshall. And by the way, Amigo Energy reminds you that, you want to save money on electricity, and Amigo Energy's got the Nights Free program. Customers pay no energy charge to light up their homes. Take advantage, sign up for the Amigo Energy Nights Free and light up your electricity, go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today, 888-995-9299. That's 888-995-9299. That is Amigo Energy. Go to amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Our thanks to Amigo Energy. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Fire MCs should call me sire. To run my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now to switch our gears a little bit. We talk a little Houston Dynamo right now. And if you talk Houston Dynamo, well, you talk Bud Light as well. Bud Light, reminds you, you can get your season tickets to the Houston Dynamo at HoustonDynamo.com. Also the Houston Dash and the world's number one female player in Carly Lloyd. Bud Light, reminds you, get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your season tickets, get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium and catch the Dynamo and international soccer. And catch our next guest, courtesy of Bud Light, Dynamo goalkeeper Tyler Derrick joining us now. Tyler, thank you very much for coming on the show. No rest for the weary. Even in the off season, I'm chasing you down.
Hey, thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, so let's first of all go into your experience. You had a great opportunity to go over and train at West Ham United. A couple of the things you gleaned from going over there, being a part of their goalkeeping crew, including their starter Adrian, Darren Randolph, a young goalkeeper Raphael Spiegel. You were thrown right in the mix with West Ham United. Tell us about the experience.
Yeah, you know, it was great from day one. You know, it's a first class club. It's an older club, so all the facilities and all the buildings, you know, they had a lot of history in them, and you could just see all the tradition throughout the club and all the players they kept, and you know, seeing all that, being a part of it, it was a tremendous experience.
What'd you think of players like Enner Valencia and Sacco and Zarate in training?
It's just a different class. You know, they're just they're magicians or wizards with the ball. You know, they make it look so easy, and what the stuff they're doing, and everything is so precise, and the demand on all the players is extremely high, and the players know that, and so they prepare accordingly, and they get ready for training, and they work hard each day to improve themselves, and you know, these players are at the top of their league, at the top of their game, and they're still trying to get better. So he's seen all the extra work that Marlo Zarate puts in at the end of training, and Enner Valencia, you know, they were doing free kicks at the end of training, and I was on the other side of the wall taking free kicks from them, and, you know, it's just a different class over there.
Yeah, so speak to me a little bit about, are these balls being struck coming in? Is it different?
It's the same as you see with an MLS player as they strike a ball hard, but the consistency and each shot, you know, it's on target, it has a chance on goal. You know, they're not missing the target wildly. If they do, they're just hitting it right over the crossbar, hitting the post. But, you know, the consistency of their strikes and when they make contact with the ball, you know, they've just been inbred with this since they were a young 16-year-old kid, you know. So they just have the striking of the ball down, and the consistency of that is what's different from other players.
Tyler Derrick, 7 shutouts last year for the Houston Dynamo. They're number one. Has worked under Dynamo goalkeeping coach Paul Rogers. Now, over there, you worked under a former England national team player, Chris Woods. Talk about Chris Woods' goalkeeping sort of coaching style next to Paul Rogers and how it might differ.
Yeah, you know, Chris is such a great – he was a great goalkeeper when he was playing back in the day, you know, with Preston North End, and he's played for England. You know, he's had – a lot of success in his career, and whenever he's coaching, you know, he's just one of the guys. He's just another guy. You know, you kind of forget about all the accolades that he has in England and with the U.S. national team and coaching great goalkeepers, because he's such a regular guy and he treats everybody with respect. And, you know, he provides a great environment to work in to get better. You're relaxed, and if you have questions, you ask him, and he gives you great answers and great advice and great feedback. So, you know, it's after spending time with him, you can see why the U.S. goalkeeping scene chose him for a coach.
He's Tyler Derrick joining us here. I had the great opportunity to go over and train with West Ham United and did it with the first team, with all the first team goalkeepers under Slaven Bilic, who is an interesting, as interesting as a manager as you'll find. I watch this guy on TV and I hear him in interviews, and it's just like, man, this is a guy you would want to play for, isn't it?
Yeah, he has a lot of enthusiasm for the game. And, you know, like I said earlier about West Ham being an older club and a lot of tradition, you know, he really takes the heart and soul of the club that he's at and really puts it back into the players. And you can really feel that around the club. And he makes a great environment for players to train, which is any player's dream. You know, he's really respectful, and it's just he provides a great atmosphere.
Talk to me about him in training. How vocal is he? How involved is he? You know, because in England, you know, it's differing with some managers. Some are more involved in the training. Others are taking a step back. How involved was he?
Yeah, you know, he was, you could tell he was the guy in charge, and he had his coaches running the session, but he was just behind the goal watching us play a small-sided game, and Cresswell, the left back, he was having an amazing training session. You know, he said, "Cress, you're a different class." And that's the only thing he said throughout the whole training to only one player. So, you know, that's the level that he expects other players to be at. So whenever he says those small things to certain players, you know, and he doesn't say much, you listen to what he says because he's not talking that often.
Tyler, how timely was this? Because, you know, when I was a young player, I had a chance to go train at Sheffield United for a couple of weeks, and it certainly broadened a lot of things. It makes you look at the game differently in a culture like that. How important has this been from a timing perspective for your career? Because, I mean, this only sounds like it was unbelievably positive.
Yeah, you know, it was a great experience and everything. And now with the new coaching staff that we've had, you know, I've been asking to go over to England and train and get this experience for a long time now. But with the coaching staff that we used to have, it just wasn't possible. It was kind of difficult to work out. But with Owen Coyle and Paul Rogers having their connections in England, you know, it was real easy. You know, I talked to him halfway through the season and said that this is something I really want to do. And they made it work out to a club that was perfect for me, you know, with Chris Woods being the goalkeeping coach, former U.S. goalkeeping coach. It was a great setup for me. So I wish I could have gone over when I was younger. I think a lot of younger players should go over to see what the culture's like, see what the training's like, and see the demand on players and see it firsthand. You can't replicate anywhere. So sending young players over and they could see this firsthand, you know, I think it would pay dividends in the long run.
Yeah, it's great for you because it just broadens your base of knowledge and experience. It just becomes another part of the Tyler Derrick resume, right?
Exactly.
And by the way, Tyler Derrick last year completing his first season as a starter, 31 regular season appearances. I mentioned that he had 7 shutouts in the beginning of the year. He had I think you put a patent on the save of the week there at the beginning of the year. Outstanding first season as a full-time starter, and I'm sure you're looking forward to year number 2. And I would imagine that you feel the pressure is upped a little bit on the Dynamo this year to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, now that this is my 8th season with the team, you know, there's a lot more pressure on me to lead by example because I've been in the league for so long now. I learned a lot last year. And a lot of us on the team have learned harsh lessons throughout the season. And now that we're all getting more experienced players, we're getting playing time, you know, we can lead by example. And I think that that's where we kind of fell off last year was having that leadership from the younger players and who can step in. But now we all realize this. So, like you said, we're all looking forward to 2016 and a new look Dynamo team. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
Tyler, I know it's easy to say that, you know, we lead by committee, but for me, I just feel teams need to have that one guy you look across in the locker room and he is the leader. Do you think that's going to emerge this year in a big way? One guy that, you know, people will say, hey, this is the real leader of the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, you know, and with that, only time will tell. With Brad being gone, you know, obviously there's a void in the captaincy and he's a big personality in the locker room that a lot of people rely on. And with him gone, you know, somebody's going to have to step up. Somebody's going to have to do it and take on that role as the captain and be a leader on this team. And we'll see the players really react to during preseason.
Now, you had an opportunity to catch Jeff Cameron playing against Stoke. Did you get the chance to catch up with Jeff at all? And must have been great to see a former teammate out there in the Premier League.
Yeah, you know, luckily for me, they played Stoke City that weekend, and Jeff was starting in center midfield. And I tell you what, watching him out there, I was right behind the West Ham bench, a couple rows back. And watching Jeff out there, he was tearing it up. He was playing some type of soccer. He was doing things I never seen him do in training, and it's a credit to the EPL and their recognition of talent and getting him over there and improving him as a player. And he's doing extremely well right now.
And we all got to remember, as it's MLS Super Draft time, Jeff Cameron was a late draft choice by Dominic Kinnear and the Houston Dynamo, and he is now playing in the Premier League. Tyler, as always, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. I know you're heading down to watch the Houston Rockets tonight. We'll let you get a start on that. But as always, thank you for sharing your experience over there, because I think it's great for everybody listening into the program to kind of understand the experience you just had with West Ham United.
Hey, thank you for having me, Glenn. Pleasure as always.
Yeah, likewise. Right back at you. That's Tyler Derrick, headed to the NBA game here tonight with the Houston Rockets, taking on LeBron. And guess what? Just came back from training with West Ham United. Absolutely outstanding. We will take a break. It's a 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A real privilege to have on now, straight from U.S. national team camp under Jurgen Klinsmann. He is U.S. international. You know him from the World Cup. He is Matt Beisler. Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Well, look, you're right back into the thick of things here. And when you look at this roster, it's a very young roster in this January camp. So my assumption here is that Matt Beisler's got to be one of the leaders in this camp.
I guess you could say that. I'm taking on the responsibility of that, and so far I'm enjoying it. But the group that we have in has a great attitude. Even the young players that haven't ever been in before, they come into training with a smile on their face. They're very eager. They're willing to put in the work. And as a veteran guy, that makes your job as being a leader that much easier.
Yeah, you are now a veteran guy based on your experiences. I mean, these things happen. All of a sudden you're being called the veteran when I remember you were just brought into the national team. But is there sometimes that reciprocation? You know, we always go straight to, well, it's about the older guys and the experienced guys leading the young guys. But then youth brings a lot of energy and excitement, like you just said.
Yeah, no, it's fun. The vibe and the attitude in camp has been very enjoyable so far, and we had a great first week. I think it really helps, you know, the young players that have been in, the under 23 guys, you know, they're a team now. You know, I think maybe last year and definitely the year before they had never played together. They haven't, you know, they were just searching for guys, and it was just a bunch of random young players, you know, being thrown together. But they've gone through friendlies and they've gone through Olympic qualifying now, and so they're much more closer. And so I think they're comfortable with each other. And like I said, it makes it for a better camp.
He's U.S. international central defender Matt Beisler joining us here. I know you watched or probably were aware of the MLS Super Draft, something that players have gone through over the years, and you've got some younger guys in this camp that obviously, I think, have tremendous upsides. Let's talk about a couple young guys. Kellen Acosta, FC Dallas, Tim Parker of Vancouver, and now you got Brandon Vincent, and he was just drafted out of Stanford. How have these younger guys done?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everyone's done well. I've been impressed with the group as a whole. You know, it's fun getting to play with these guys on a regular basis, and because a lot of times, you know, you hear their names, and a lot of the young players have big names for their age. And so it's really enjoyable to experience and interact with them every single day. But Yeah, I mean, Kellen's a guy that can play all over the field. He's been playing some midfield, some outside back. I think he's been thrown around in different spots, and he looks comfortable anywhere on the field. So that's a good sign for him. And I've enjoyed getting to know Tim Parker as well. Obviously, he plays on the back line, so he plays the same position I do. And I try and give him as much information as possible. And I try and make him as comfortable as possible. So, like I said, it's been enjoyable. Everyone's looking good so far.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you're painting this great picture of a lot of respect, which I believe goes on in these training sessions. But at the end of the day, Steve Birnbaum, Matt Miazga, Tim Parker, these are guys fighting for a center back position, right? So there is competition. There is pressure.
Yeah, there's always pressure. Especially with the national team. I mean, one day you're in, one day you're out. It really does not matter what you've done in the past. It's all about what you can do in the future. And I think that's the way it should be. That makes your team better, and it makes you play at the highest level when there's competition like that. So I think everybody understands that. It's a very healthy competition. But at the same time, I mean, we're trying to push for each other. Guys are trying to win jobs at this camp.
Take us, Matt, through a little bit of what it's like been out at the camp now. What have you been focused on? Is it a base of fitness? Have people come in fit? What's Jürgen Klinsmann doing with the group?
Yeah, I mean, we got into it right away, like we usually do with January camps. The first couple days of training, we do a lot of introductory drills, passing drills, possession drills, because you want to get to know everybody. Sometimes you've never met a guy before, so it's important for everybody to first learn everyone's name. That's where you have to start with. So you learn everybody's name, you learn, how they play, how they move on the field, the first couple of days. So we got that out of the way, and today actually was the first day we've been able to really focus on some tactical things, how we want to shift as a team, and we really talked about, coming together and playing as a team.
Now, you also have to get used to the tendencies of differing goalkeepers here, David Bingham of San Jose, maybe Luis Robles, maybe guys that you haven't played in front of that much before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's always an interesting challenge of a January camp, because with your club team, you train with a guy behind you every single day. And with the national team, you come in and everyone comes from different teams. And so the communication is always different. The tendencies are always different as well. And each team has a different style. And so you have to come together as quickly as possible. But again, everyone understands that, so we're all working as much as we can to get those little kinks out of the way.
Did the kind of off season go pretty quick for you, Matt? Because obviously we just got through Christmas and New Year's, and here you are once again in training. Mm-hmm. These are long time periods in this January camp, and it becomes a mental thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I was actually ready to go. This one, for me, it actually felt long. We got knocked out against Portland in the shootout in the first round of the playoffs. So we had some extra time compared to years past. So, it was nice to get away from the game for 2 or 3 weeks. But then you're right back into the swing of things in December, training and getting better, getting stronger, faster, quicker. There's certain things that you can work on as a player in the gym, and I really look forward to that time, because during the season you can't really focus on those things. You're playing a game. For me with the national team, it was almost every Wednesday, Saturday, it seemed like this year. So. I really enjoyed that time where I could focus on some things in the gym, and I was definitely ready to start back up for this January camp.
And what about just led me into something great here, because I always had thought that different time periods in Major League Soccer, that I just remember when I played professionally in the 80s, always sticking around after practice working on a piece of my game. Now, I know things are very, very different now. But at Sporting Kansas City, in other words, do you have a lot of guys that, you know, the minute the session is over with Peter Vermees and his staff, are guys picking up, you know, different parts of their game and working on them a little additionally?
Yes and no. So everything is extremely controlled down to the minute. And so the way Peter runs his week and runs a training session is unbelievable the details that he thinks about. So it's down to almost the second even. So there's a watch that our fitness coach has and who runs the training. And, you know, when we do a possession drill for 3 minutes, we do it for exactly 3 minutes and he stops the watch. And then when we have a rest time for a minute and a half, we rest for exactly a minute and a half and then we're back into the next drill. So it's, and, you know, depending on the day, whether it's an 80 minute training session or whether it's a lighter 50 minute training session, it will be on the dot almost close to the second. And so there's 2 days a week usually where we have an extra 10 or 15 minutes on our own. And that's when guys will stick around and work on their free kicks or their set piece service or maybe some long balls, depending on what position you play. But the other days we're actually not allowed to because everything is so controlled and they want you to have a certain workload and they don't want you to go over that. So it's pretty interesting with all the technology. It's probably a little different from when you played back in the 80s, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was. Those were back in the prehistoric days.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks for coming on. Before I let you go, real quick word on Brad Davis coming to Sporting Kansas City.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm very excited. I think it's a great pickup for us. Brad's a proven guy in this league, and he's a competitor. I've been teammates with him for a few years with the national team, so I know what he's all about. He brings it every day in training, and he's a winner. And so I'm really looking forward to playing with him instead of against him down there in Houston.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, by the way you do an interview, I love how relaxed and effortless you are. Those aren't words that were ever associated with me. But this is one of the great talents you have as a center back, is that great level of composure. As always, Matt, thank you very much for coming on the program. You gave us some great insight into the national team camp in California.
Cool. I appreciate those words. We'll talk to you guys later.
You got it. That's Matt Beisler, U.S. international center back, fresh from U.S. national team camp under Jurgen Klinsmann in California. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're going to wrap it up in style here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Before we get to our final interview here tonight, though, the Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24/7. They are Houston personal injury attorneys. John Daspit, a personal friend of mine, he handles cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injury accidents, industrial accidents, right on down to boat and car, and even, dare I say it, wrongful death. DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. And with a Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in those difficult times when you need a lawyer, that you have one that is a hard-hitting personal injury attorney, and they will be fighting for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm at 713-364-0915, or you can call toll-free both in English and Spanish, 888-273-1045. And Soccer Matters, thanks, the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. And with that, Brian Sciarretta joins us right now. Brian, everybody's done a lot of work and seen his readings, New York Times, Howler Magazine. You can hear him a lot of times on SiriusXM, and you can hear him right here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Brian, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn, for having me on.
We're wrapping you up in big style. We just off-air here before coming on. Brian and I just realized that we grew up in the same area of New Jersey, so we have a little bit of a link there. Let's get rolling here because a number of topics I want to get with to you. I first want to talk a little bit about Brandon Vincent, the recent MLS Super Draft. out of Stanford. I know you got a piece coming out on him soon. He's a kid that I met and talked with out at the NCAA College Cup, which I had the pleasure of calling. Very mature, left-footed, obviously one of the ones you think that can come into Major League Soccer and get some real minutes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, Major League Soccer is, does not have a lot of wide players, wingers, especially American kids like this, either fullbacks or wingers. And particularly on the left-footed side, I mean, these are very hard to come by players. I mean, I was surprised he fell to number four. I thought that, you know, he was either going to go one overall. You know, NYCFC didn't get that pick, but, you know, that all, we don't know how that worked out. But, you know, it's, to pass on those kind of skill sets is very difficult. Is very difficult, and good for Chicago to finally to get the guy that they wanted. You know, it's left back is a position we all know is a lot of times players play they're out of position or they're subpar. But to get a top tier guy who that's his number one position and there's no adjustment period or there's no coaching the guy and having to teach him that position after he's grew up playing either being a central midfielder or a forward or a winger. That is his position. I mean, that's just a golden opportunity there. And he's very smart, great leader. He's got all kinds of intangibles. I mean, you won't find a smarter guy than that. So there's literally no risk with this pick. So I think it was just a great draft for Chicago. They got some money on tie. They got Campbell in central defense. But Vincent, though, is the jewel there. It wouldn't surprise me if he's the standout. You know, when you evaluate the draft, usually you have to evaluate several years out because you don't know how these players will turn out. If you look, it's not going to surprise anybody if you look back and you find a full national team there and maybe the best of the bunch.
He's Brian Chiaretta joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You also mentioned that Jonathan Campbell, also drafted by Chicago out of the University of North Carolina, played with the Seattle Sounders, I guess, Academy or under-23 team. All right, so Veljko Panovic is the new coach of Chicago. I find this incredibly interesting, and I just think as somebody who is an overall fan of Major League Soccer, we do need these foreign coaches coming in to spice things up and bring a little bit of intrigue.
Well, yeah, and I think there's differences. There's foreign coaches come in all shapes and sizes. You know, I mean, we've seen a lot of them come over here and fail, but here what you have a guy is it's his first professional coaching job. So, and he has a little bit of an interest here. I know he played with Philadelphia, but he's really trying to make a headwind into the coaching world here with this position. This is not a retirement gig like it was in the back when it went back when the Metro Stars had Carlos Alberto Pereira. Probably no one else in the history of this league has ever had as big of a resume as he did, and he was a failure. I mean, it requires all kinds of.
Boy, we could go on and on there, Brian.
Oh,
because
yeah,
we could talk about Walter Zenga. I mean, we can go on and on. Frank Stapleton. And, sure. And I think to some degree, some of those guys did not respect maybe the game in America.
But this is completely different. And I like this guy. And if there's going to be foreign coaches that are going to break the mold. And I like to see young American coaches getting involved with the game, too, and becoming good coaches. I mean, Major League Soccer served Jason Christ very well in that regard, too. And despite the hiccups at NYCFC, he's going to be fine. But that being said, when you get a guy like Panovic here, you're getting a whole different perspective, a guy who's worked with young players. And let me tell you, Chicago, they got a nice young group of players, and a lot of them are American, too. In addition to Matt Polster and Harry Schiff, now you got Campbell and Vincent. You know, they're putting together you see how it's starting to come together. If I'm a Chicago Fire fan, yeah, I'm not happy with how the last couple seasons have gone, but at least I'm starting to see a little bit of a direction here. And now you got a coach here who's done great, has had great success with young players, is winning the under-20 World Cup with Serbia. So, and he was, when I interviewed him last month, he talked about that U.S.-Serbia game at the U-20 World Cup, which was very, very close, went down to a shootout. And he really liked what the American players were doing, but he wasn't surprised because he believes in the American players. So it's really interesting to see. I mean, I like where they're going here with this. And it wouldn't surprise me if you see like a foreign coach develop along with, like you do with Oscar Perea, a guy who's
sure,
very good with development of young American players.
The Chicago Fire certainly is a team that needs to kind of come back to some of its former greatness. Panovic was quoted as this: "I see the Chicago Fire as a hurt lion, ready to unleash all its power." I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. All right, let's move on to Jordan Morris. Obviously, he's been training with Werder Bremen in Germany, Seattle Sounders. Where do you think he's going to end up? And in your mind, Brian?
Oh, it's you know, with every passing day, I think, you know, more and more evidence comes in that Werder is going to offer him a contract. And it's as much, I don't even know if Jordan knows where he's going to go yet, but you know, my guess is I still think he's going to come back to Seattle. I mean, if you look at his history, he does what's in the best interest of himself. And conventional wisdom hasn't always applied with Jordan Morris. I mean, last year he was capped by the full national team in 2014, and everyone assumed, well, he's going to go professional, sign with Seattle in 2015 in January. It came around, and what did he do? He returned to school because he felt that was the best option for him. Now it's come along now. Now, I think it would be less shocking for him to sign with Seattle than it was last winter when he returned to Stanford. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, and I think his attachment to the Sounders is big. I think that Seattle might now have to pay a little bit more, and I think he can probably negotiate a better deal for himself. And look, there's a lot of questions right now about Werder Bremen. I mean, I think that their budget is hurt, and they can very easily fall into completely into that relegation zone. In fact, a lot of German experts are predicting that Werder Bremen is going to be relegated this year because they're in 16th place in the 18-team Bundesliga, and and the teams below them have bolstered their roster.
I think those two things you just said, Brian, are incredibly telling when it comes down to the final decision.
Yeah, I mean, and if they get relegated, then all of a sudden you have all kinds of issues about them being in the two Bundesliga, then maybe the resources increase because some of their highest paid players leave or it decreases. So you don't really know what the future of the Werder Bremen is going to be. And then on top of that, he needs some kind of an adjustment period. So what happens if he rides the bench for a couple months or he's getting adjusted, then they get relegated and there's really not a big body of work for him to find another club. I mean, it's not a clear-cut decision as either side wants to make it to be. But so I kind of think that maybe Seattle would do them better because, look, a lot of the best players, American players who've come through college, have had their best success starting their pro career in Major League Soccer. I mean, it was true with Dempsey. And
think about this, too, because I hear a lot of people say, well, guess what, Jordan Morris, oh, he's going to be behind Dempsey and Obafemi Martin. Sure he is. But they're going to make sure he gets playing time. This is an investment. He's going to be the highest paid homegrown player ever.
Yeah.
This kid is probably in negotiation with them, and they're in negotiation saying to him, you will play this year in Major League Soccer. You will get significant minutes. And that could be the thing that tempts him to sign. I don't think there's any question with Dempsey's lack of form last year. I don't think there's any question that he is going to get significant playing time, and he's not the normal college guy that everybody thinks because he spent the last year globetrotting around the world playing for various national teams for the United States. So this is not like a kid dipping his toe into the water of Major League Soccer. He's coming a little bit more prepared than the normal college player.
And he loves Seattle. I mean, he loves that team. He's very attached to it. His dad is the team's doctor. His dad's a very established doctor in the Seattle region. So it's not your usual attachment to that club, too. And besides, I mean, I don't like to be, a doom and gloom kind of a guy, but can you see Dempsey and Martin staying healthy for the entire season and not, like, having, you know, any injuries pop up where Morris is going to have to come in and contribute? I mean, there's going to be opportunities in front of you if you're the third striker when the other two guys are, you know, 32, 31, 33. I mean, it's to say that he's going to be behind these guys permanently and playing time is going to be hard to come by is just something I don't agree with and just can't see. It would take like an astonishing turn of events for that to even take place.
He's going to play if he's there. He's Brian Sciarretta joining us. You see his work in the New York Times, Haller Magazine. He's been a guest on this program. Love having him on. Is very in tune with the world of soccer and a lot of the young players and things that are going on. Brian, if you were going to pick a player that might be under the radar right now that's, you know, not playing in Major League Soccer around the world that's got ties to the U.S., who would that be?
What do you mean in terms of...
Anybody who's on a roster in a foreign country right now that we may not know a whole lot about that is somebody to keep an eye on.
An American player?
Yeah, that's got ties to the U.S.
Oh, man. You know, there's these guys that pop up all the time, but there's this kid, Jordan Sebichu. He plays every week. He's a 19-year-old striker and for Ligue 1 in France for Stade Reims. And he's born and raised, but he was born in Washington, D.C. and has a lot of family here. And certainly wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, him come into, you know, maybe one of the U.S. youth teams. I think he's only eligible at this point for the 23s. But he's one of these guys that kind of pops up that was born here. Not many people realize it. But, you know, he's playing in in a major league, and I think he scored a goal earlier this year. His first professional goal came against PSG. So
he's playing for Rams, did you say? Rams?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that's interesting. Have you had an opportunity to see him play a lot? Because I have not.
I saw him play, and he's impressive. He's a target forward. He's still raw.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to interview him, but it was funny. He canceled at the last minute. He was just starting his career, and he was a little nervous, but I ended up speaking with his agent, who gave me a quote that said he would be honored if the U.S. called him up. He's also eligible for France, and which is very difficult because their 19-year-olds are playing for unbelievable clubs. But he's also eligible for, I believe it's Cameroon as well. So, you know, there are options there. It's just these guys pop up at all kinds of with all kinds of regularity, you know, it's just with a country as big as ours, but you never know where American footprints will take us in the world of soccer. And, it's one of the things where it's worth looking into. Sometimes they don't translate that success over to the club career, from their club career to the national team, but sometimes they do. So, you know, it's a name that I wouldn't surprise me if he pops up.
All right, let's keep an eye on him. That's a nice tip from you. Last question before I let you go. Bob Bradley is a manager in France. I'm looking here at your Twitter. It's at Brian Chiaretta, Chiaretta. I urge you to follow him. You put a nice piece up there about Bradley's team beating Paris FC, moving into third place in League Two. Just give us a little insight into Bob Bradley over in France right now, real quick.
It's fun with him and former U.S. national team coach player David Wagner. There's two good coaches right now in Europe who have American ties. But Bradley obviously coached the national team, and he's setting the stage for perhaps an unbelievable year in coaching. He took Stabæk to a second place finish or a third place finish, a Europa League qualifying finish in Norway, when no one predicted they had the resources or the ability to do so. I mean, they were predicted to be in a relegation fight. You took them to the top. Now, if he can go to Le Havre and get them promoted into Ligue 1, one of the big leagues in Europe, I mean, you think about that. I mean, between those two coaching stints, which would fall within a year, if he's setting a stage in these next couple of months to do something that would just be unbelievable, and it shows it's no fluke if he does it with two teams. So he took this job. He might find himself by the end of this year with Le Havre in a top league and the first American coach to coach in a league of that caliber. It's just a remarkable story, and he could be, of all the American players out there, he could be the American in the soccer world to watch right now in 2015 if he's able to do that, or 2016 if he's able to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, good for Bob Bradley. He's taken some real risks with his career now. I think it's wonderful. Makes me more interested in Bob Bradley and body of work just continues to extend. I think it's wonderful. Makes me more interested in Bob Bradley and body of work just continues to extend. Listen, Brian, thank you very much for coming on the show. You helped us end it in style tonight here. A happy new year to you, and thanks for coming on. I look forward to having you on the show again.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Anytime.
All right. The one and only Brian Chiaretta, Howler Magazine, The New York Times. You catch him on Sirius XM as well as right here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. That'll do it for us tonight. A reminder, we're back on the air next Monday night. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Have a great weekend.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.